Welcome in the name of Jesus. Grab a visitor card. They're behind your desk. Not behind your desk. I was a teacher. And so grab them, bring them to the welcome desk, and we have a gift for you, and it's a great way. Join us on Church Center. So many things happening. Of course, we have our Wednesday Bible studies, Monday at noon. We do have Bible study. We know it's Martin Luther King Day, but we are going, ladies, to pray over the gates of the city. And so we are going to go to the school board office and pray, and we're going to the government towers office and pray. And then we're going to the police station and we're going to pray. And it's going to be a field trip. And so we want you to come with us and pray. We're not stopping with what God has already done. We're believing God for more. And so if you want to join us, I mean, I guess we're inviting anybody, but specifically ladies, we'll have childcare to Monday too. We know it's Martin Luther King. You might have kids, but it's at noon. We just show up in the ladies' room. We're starting there and we're field tripping to those places. And of course, Wednesday at 6:30, we're going to do the same. So join us in prayer. Somebody say prayer. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And so we're going to continue asking and seeking and knocking in the wonderful name of Jesus. So today is release it to the Lord. We are resetting our lives. If you have a Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 50. It's going to take me a while to get there. Okay, so I apologize, but I've got to set up a story so that we can get to what the scriptures are wanting us to do this morning. And so release it. Somebody say release it. To the Lord, say to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we ask God within the sound of my voice that there would be an authority of Christ. God, I thank you this morning that your word is real. God, that we can release it to the Lord, not because they deserve it, but Lord, this morning because you have forgiven us. And because you forgive us, the Bible says to forgive others as we are forgiven. So this morning we sang of our forgiveness. We said, God, we're gratitude. We're full of thanksgiving. God, we can't thank you enough. And that is so true. So God, on the flip side of that, help us to be a people that say the same towards others. And I know that will cause some stirring in our hearts, and we'll say, but they don't deserve it, Lord, or we're still bitter, or this thing happened, and how could I forgive them? But God, I pray, God, that you would give us the strength this morning to do that, to release it to the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Last week, well, we started the series with Reflect and Move Forward, talking about looking at your life and moving forward. And then we talked about remembering and repenting, returning to your first love. If you've been cold, if you've been stagnant, if you haven't really followed the Lord in the way that you should be, we talked about asking the Lord and remembering where we were when we were saved, and then asking the Lord, help me to repent and turn back to you. And then last week, Pastor Ted talked about renew your mind and to think on the things that are loved and are good, and a good report, and pure, and holy, and to let go and let your mind be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we are looking at reflecting, we're looking at remembering and repenting, we're looking at renewing your mind, but today we are talking about releasing it to the Lord. And this morning, it's sort of interesting, if you are reading the Bible plan with us, and we hope that you are reading the Bible, some of us are reading like the whole Bible in a year, some of you are reading the New Testament in a year, some of you are reading Psalm and Proverbs, I know my kids are doing that in a year. No worries, God is with us and he hears us. And so this morning, morning's scripture is actually, we started reading this in the Bible plan yesterday on Saturday. And so we want to talk through the life of Joseph. You might have, I think I have a slide for this. Joseph's life is one long story of being wronged, betrayed, and falsely accused. Have you ever been wronged? Probably. Betrayed? Yes. And are falsely accused. Probably every one of us in the room has had some kind of way, maybe by a family member, maybe by someone on the job, or maybe at a school, you had a teacher falsely accuse you. And this morning, we're looking at the life of Joseph. Somebody say Joseph. Now, Joseph came from the lineage of the greats of the faith. In fact, you probably know Father Abraham. Remember that song? Father Abraham had many sons. All the old people said, we can sing with you. And all the young people are like, what are you talking about? And so Father Abraham had many sons. And it's sort of interesting, but the son of promise, his name was Isaac, okay? So he was waiting in years, and Isaac had a son. And so Abraham had Isaac, and then Isaac had Jacob. Now, Jacob's name gets interesting. It gets changed to the name of Israel. And so you see the lineage of the people that have come from Father Abraham so far. But Jacob is good at producing children. And so he has 12 children. Now, he was a son of promise. He came from Abraham, who came from Isaac, and then also who came from Jacob. And we see that the 12 sons of Jacob came from 4 different women. If you thought you had mess in your family, look at the family mess that we are getting ready to talk about today. You're good. You're good. So there was some mess that was happening because he loved one, but the father-in-law tricked him and had him to marry Leah. It's an interesting story. Like, they get married, and all of a sudden in the tent where they do the deed, I guess you can say, all of a sudden he realized it's not the one I love. It's Leah with the faint eyes. And so all of a sudden he's married to someone for Leah, and she begins to produce children. So the first 4 children of Jacob of Israel is Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. But Rachel had a maid. This gets interesting. This is good drama right here. And so Beulah, I don't know how to say her name, but she had 2 more. So not only does he sleep with Rachel, he also sleeps with Bilhah. And then he has, which was Rachel's maid, and Ziplah, which was Leah's maid. So he sees it also as the maid of that person. And finally, after working 7 more years, he works for 7 years, and he accidentally gets Leah. But then all of a sudden, now he has Rachel, and Rachel has a son, and he is the son of the one that he loves. You ever been in this kind of drama? You know what I'm talking about, where there's somebody, you know this, y'all are not all, you are, you know people that have this kind of drama in their family, where all of a sudden, there is one that is loved more than the other for one reason or the other. And somebody's labor. Okay, so you understand where we're getting at. And so right here, we have Rachel, who is beautiful in form and beautiful in appearance. And Jacob has Joseph, the son of promise. In fact, he loves Joseph. He he promises things to Joseph. He gives Joseph a coat of many colors. You might have heard that story where all of a sudden now Joseph has a coat, and he's a little bit favored because he's the one with the mama who is the one that he loved. And so here comes Joseph. Somebody say Joseph. So Joseph was hated by his brothers. You can see why, because he's the son that came from the wife that Jacob loved. I want to give you 10 reasons this morning of why Joseph, I'm going to mess those up, Joseph was hated, wronged, betrayed, falsely accused. Number 1, his brothers hated him and plotted against him. Why? Because they were not of Rachel. In fact, the youngest, Benjamin, was not even born yet. So his brothers hated him, and they plotted against him. In fact, the scripture says in Genesis 37, in verse 4, it says, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they what? They hated him, and they could not speak peacefully to him. They didn't just dislike him. The scriptures are clear. They hated Joseph. Number 2, his brothers planned to kill him. So this hatred moves over to a plan to kill him. In Genesis 37, in verse 18 through 20, it says this: they saw him, who is him, Joseph. They saw Joseph from afar, and they conspired against him to what? To kill him. And they said to one another, here comes this dreamer, come now and let us kill him. Now that's interesting, because Joseph had a dream. In fact, in his dream, he had it to where all of his, well, there were stars and there were moons and they were bowing down. And he asked, and he has this dream, and he says, what does it mean? And he says, I think it means that you guys are all going to bow down to me. Imagine you're already the son of a favored wife, and now you have a dream that says everybody's going to bow down to me. So not only do they want to kill him, they hate him. In Genesis 37, it says that. Number three, because of that, because he had a dream, because he was favored, he was thrown into a pit. Not like a little pit, like we have little holes here in South Louisiana. We could never have a pit. In that place, you'd have a pit, probably an empty well, some place where nobody would find him. Look at Genesis 37, 23 through 24. It says, they stripped him of his robe, and they took him, and they threw him into a what? A pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. But he didn't just stay in the pit. The story moves on, and the fourth thing that happened to Joseph was he was sold into slavery. Instead of killing him, because they wanted to kill him, one of the brothers vindicated for his life and said, let's not kill him, let's just sell him and make some money off the deal. In Genesis 37, in verse 28, it says, then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up, and they lifted him out of the pit, and they what? Sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. So now he's hated, he's disliked, he's thrown into a pit, he's sold into slavery, and then at point number five, his brothers lied to their father about him. So the brothers knew that Joseph was most favored. They knew that Jacob would be destroyed because Joseph was dead, but they didn't care. And so they got a goat and they killed the goat and they put blood on his coat of many colors and they bring it back to their daddy and they say, we don't know what's happened to Joseph. We're not quite sure what happened to Joseph. Look at the scripture. It says in Genesis 37, 31 through 33. It says, then they took Joseph's robe, they dipped it in blood, and they said, this we have found. Please identify whether it's your son's or not. So they lied. Totally a complete lie. Of course he was not dead. Of course he was sold into slavery. And yet they lied, thinking, and Jacob mourned his son's death for years, thinking Joseph was gone. Number six, from there, Joseph is then taken into a foreign land. So he becomes an outsider. He is sold into slavery. He works as a slave. In fact, Genesis 37 and verse 36 said the Midianites sold him to Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. So he goes from a pit, and then he gets out of the pit. They sell him for 20 shekels of silver, and now those Midianite traders sell him to Egyptians, and now he's in Potiphar's house. And you think, well, maybe at this point, because he's around wealth and he's around dignitaries, maybe his life will go for the better. Yet it does not. And number seven was this. Well, he was taken to a foreign land. It says that. Number seven, he was falsely accused of sexual assault. There's assault that is real, and there are also ones that are falsely accused of sexual assault. And Joseph lands in the latter. He was good looking. And Potiphar's wife also knew he was good looking, and she would come at him day after day. And eventually he had enough, and the Bible says he fled sexual immorality. In fact, so much so that she goes and she grabs his coat and he's running out the door and she accuses him. Look at the scriptures. It says in Genesis 39, 17 through 18, she told him, the Hebrew servant came in to laugh at me, but as soon as I lift up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me, and she accuses him of sexual assault. So now we have seven different ways that Joseph can be bitter. He can be angry. He can be full of hatred, but keep on. He was after that because of what he was accused of doing. Number eight was he was unjustly imprisoned. So the court did not rule in his favor. And because he was accused of sexual assault, the Bible says he was unjustly imprisoned. He was thrown into prisons for crimes he did not commit. Genesis 39, 19 through 20 says this. As soon as his master heard what he had done, what he had fakely done, his anger was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into what? Into prison. So he's in prison, and you think, well, maybe somehow the Lord can work these things, but you can imagine the anger and the bitterness and the unforgiveness that is becoming unresolved, all because his brothers hated him and sold him into slavery. But it doesn't get better for him. Joseph is an interpreter of dreams. And he interprets the dreams correctly of the cupbearer and the wine of the cupbearer and the baker. And he helps them, and one ends up dying, not because of Joseph, but because of the dream and what he had done. And the other forgets him. And so he's in prison and he says, please don't forget me. Whenever this dream is interpreted before the king, remind yourself to remind him of who Joseph is and come and get me out. But number nine, he was forgotten after helping others. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you gave everything for someone? You were the one answering the phone call late at night. You were the one driving over to their house. And as soon as the problem was fixed in their life, they forgot you. They just left you. It was like, you who? And the same happens to Joseph in Genesis 40 in verse 23. It says, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but what? Forgot him. Two more years he stays in prison. Number 10, lastly, before we get to the scripture we'll read today, his family unknowingly benefited while he suffered. Nothing happened to them. He was in a pit, they were fine. He was sold to slavery, no problem in the family. Everything was going just as planned. He was not vindicated. They lied to their father. It seemed like there was no justice. Nothing was happening, even though they lied. He flew from sexual impurity, and it didn't seem like God was even noticing in his story. God, I did the right thing. You've ever done the right thing? And you've continued in a way of righteousness, and it still gets counted towards you as evil? Or somebody blames you? Or somebody talks about you? Out of all the people in the scriptures, I have to think that Joseph had every right, because he was hated, because he was betrayed, because he was sold, because he was lied about, because he was falsely accused, he was in prison, and he was forgotten. If anyone had a reason to be bitter, to be angry, surely it was Joseph. Surely it would have been the one that had all of these terrible things happen to him. You know, when Joseph had his dreams, he was 17 years old. Probably some young people close to that. He was sold into slavery short after. I got a little slide to show you the progression of what happened in his life. It wasn't until he was 30 that he stood before Pharaoh. So he spent 13 years from seven, that feels like eternity when you're 17 years old. He spent 13 years in slavery, in prison unjustly, and then finally at age 30, he gets to show up before Pharaoh. And then 7 years of abundance happened. So now Joseph is 37 years old. Then there were 2 years of famine that happens, and so Joseph is now 39 years old. So from the time he is 17 to the time he is 39, 22 years pass, and he is waiting on the promises of God. Why? Because when he was 17, he had a dream. What was the dream? That his brothers would bow down to him and that he would help to heal a nation. And so he's waiting on the promises, but all he has seen is betrayal. All he has seen is hardness of heart, murdering, slavery. He has seen the pit. He has seen the dungeon. And I repeat to you this morning, if there was ever a reason to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, surely Joseph had it. If you don't know the story, Joseph eventually, his brothers come. There's 2 years of famine, and his brothers come, and they need food. So not all is well. God had seen what had happened to him when he's 17. God had seen what would happen to him when he's 20, 25. He saw Joseph, but he had a plan, and he was working it all out. And so eventually his brothers come to Joseph, and they don't recognize him because now he's a man, and when he left, he was a boy. And so all of a sudden they come and they say, would you help us? And of course he does, because that's his brothers. And eventually he reunites with his fathers, and he had a heart change, and all of a sudden that bitterness and that unforgiveness and that betrayal. You see what bitterness does to you? And maybe Joseph knew this, but I don't know. Bitterness will do something to your physical body. Bitterness and unforgiveness, science tells us, is what Jesus tells us. When you hold on to unforgiveness, if you're holding on to unforgiveness this morning, your brain keeps replaying the trauma. Now, get this, I'm not excusing abuse. I am not. Physical abuse, sexual abuse. I am not. I'm saying that there is going to be some forgiveness, but there's going to be some boundaries. There's going to be some things that we're going to have to not allow. You're not a doormat. Forgiveness is not a doormat. Especially ladies in the house today, if you're going through something like that, you're not a doormat. It doesn't get to happen to you over and over and over again. I'm just telling you this morning that we do have to move in a progression. Science tells us when you hold on to unforgiveness, your brain keeps replaying the trauma over and over. Every time you think physically about the betrayal, there's an amygdala, I probably said that wrong, gland. And it triggers a stress response, and it floods your body with cortisol and with adrenaline. So you're like starting to get, like your heart starts pumping and you start getting angry, right? You remember something? Even right now, some of y'all are like looking at me like I'm already angry because you brought up stuff from my past. And so you're like looking at me and I feel it and I'm good. And so, but we start pumping that cortisol and we start pumping that adrenaline. Then your heart rate increases. Then your blood pressure rises. Some of our blood pressure could be from unforgiveness that's happened in our life. Then, because your blood pressure rises, your immune system weakens. So now you're catching everything because you got unforgiveness and bitterness in your life. Then inflammation happens. So you're looking at inflammation. You know what I'm talking about? When everything starts inflaming. Why? Because your heart's, you have trauma, you have bitterness, and diseases spread under these kind of circumstances. Many diseases. But a lot of people believe even cancer spreads under these diseases. My pastor's wife, where we grew up at, she had diagnosed with cancer. I forget what kind it was. About her 50s, maybe 60s. And I'll never forget, she had diagnosed, she started chemotherapy. And she said the Lord spoke to her and said, I need you to forgive people that have wronged your husband. And it was just like, she said, it was just immediate. And she said, you know, I'd hold on to anger and forgiveness. She said, this happened, whatever happened. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, you need to release the anger and the bitterness in your life. And she was forced. Her hand was played because she knew that there was a very physical ailment happening at the same time that the spiritual was happening. Now, I'm not saying that's always the case. I'm not. But I'm just aware of the fact that our physical bodies take on the stress of unforgiveness and bitterness and cancer, and it spreads, and then we're stuck into a fight or flight. And so while the offender moves on, your body stays in prison. Can I say that again? While the offender of your unforgiveness and your bitterness and whatever happened to you, in simple terms, unforgiveness and bitterness keeps your body in trauma. So when someone betrays you or lies about you, when someone wounds your heart, it feels natural to hold on to anger. We think, oh, I'll just stay mad because that's okay, because everybody else does, or we're protecting ourselves because we are mad. But bitterness does not protect you. It poisons you. Bitterness poisons your soul. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 15, it says, see to it that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, because it may become where you are defiled. No root of bitterness. Before we get into the scriptures, which is obviously going to be the last part of my sermon, I want to give you an example. This is my prize. About last year, I decided I was going to start gardening and doing all kinds of things. I started with this. This is a crepe myrtle. You probably cannot see that it is a crepe myrtle. But what I did about April or May of last year was I went to my crepe myrtle trees, and I took, you know, those little sprigs that grow off of the sides of them, and I started taking cuttings, little one-inch cuttings, and I did about 50 of them. I just planted them into the soil, put a lot of water into it, and some of them actually took off. I know that this is going to be an expensive crepe myrtle. And in about 5 years, it'll probably be worth $100. And I'm going to sell them all, maybe even to you. And so I'm not playing. But crepe myrtles are expensive. And y'all, I have a garden now with 500, 600 plants ready to go. I plan on doing, that's going to be my side hustle in my life. And so I plan on selling these things, but it just took a while. And the roots of this particular branch that was just a stick have taken root. Actually, the roots go all the way to the bottom of this crepe myrtle. Now, I have taken time. You can ask my children, my husband. I will spend sometimes an hour, 2 hours doing this. It is like a refreshing to my soul. I talk to the Lord there. It has took me a while to get that to that position. Now imagine, can you show that picture of a crepe myrtle? We have a big crepe myrtle in the background. I think we do. Do we? A big picture of, yeah, that's a crepe myrtle. Y'all gonna buy these. And so, amen. That's where it's going. But this is where it's at. And as a gardener, I understand that I have to be careful, water, protect it. If the enemy of our souls would want to get away into our hearts of you guys, he may not attack you with quit coming to church. He may not attack you with something that's big. But what he can do is he can pour poison into the roots of your life. And what is the poison that pours roots into your life? Bitterness and unforgiveness. Now, here's the thing. This is so hard for me. It's not real poison even. it's going to be so hard for me. But if I were to pour poison into my crepe myrtle, my children are like, "Oh, Mom, you've worked too hard." If I pour poison into that, here's the thing. You would not be able to tell today. You won't. Still looks the same. You probably won't even be able to tell next week. But what has happened is the root system has been contaminated. And eventually, the very thing that I'm trying to get this tree to become will never become what it is intended to be because it's full of poison and bitterness. Now, here's the thing. The enemy of our souls know who you're going to be 5 years from now. The enemy of your soul knows the plans and purpose God has 10 years for you. He does. I don't even know that. The Lord knows and the enemy. And here's what he does. He will allow, or you will allow, bitterness and unforgiveness to corrupt you in a way that eventually the root system, those firm foundation that we sing about this morning, will be go away because you have allowed bitterness and you have allowed unforgiveness and you're trying to get to be the mature crepe myrtle and you keep on coming back to here. And not only do you come back to here, you allow poison of bitterness and unforgiveness to corrupt you. And so you never become the man or the woman of God that God's called you to be. You don't fulfill the purpose of God. And the enemy laughs the whole time as he steals and kills and destroys your life. Not physically, but in the root system of your life. And you can never become what God has wanted you to become. And that is the story of Joseph, but in a good way. Look at Joseph, Genesis chapter 50, in verse 15 through 21. Now get this, Joseph takes care of his family. Joseph takes care of his father, but his brothers are not convinced. Why? Because they tried to murder him. They sold him into slavery. They caused his life to be chaos for years and years and years. And so they are concerned that Joseph has allowed the poison of bitterness and unforgiveness to settle into his life. In Genesis chapter 50, in verse 15, it says this, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead. Everybody should say, uh-oh. You know how it is when stuff happens and family gets messy. Again, I know y'all have really good families, so just think about somebody else. So when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us. That would be normal. Maybe he'll pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message. They're not even like, I'm not even going near him. I'm going to send a messenger to ask him. And so it says, they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, I don't know if they're lying. They were liars. So I don't know if their father really gave them the command or not. But they said, say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph what? Joseph wept. You would think that Joseph would become bitter, or Joseph would become angry, or he would walk out in the hatred that he had for his brothers because they had hatred towards them. But something had happened in Joseph's life, and he did not allow the poison of unforgiveness and bitterness to corrupt him. And it says Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And his brothers came down and fell down before him. There was a fruition of that dream that he had when he was 17 years old. Hold on to your dreams because they could be God dreams. That's just a side point. Look at verse 18. His brothers came and fell down before him and they said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, now listen to what he says. He said, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? When we hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, we put ourselves in the place of God. And Joseph understood he could not do that, not to walk in the dreams and the plans and the vision that God had for him. He said, I am not in the place of God. So he says, do not fear. Am I in the place of God? Look at verse 20. It says, as for you, you meant evil against me. He wasn't unaware that what they did was evil. He wasn't trivializing that what that had happened to him. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for what? Good. But God meant it for good. And so somehow he had transitioned his mind, and he says, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. And they comfort, this he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. He released it to the Lord. Now, some people might think, well, he might have released it to the Lord right then and right there, figuring it out and saying, okay, I'm going to weep. I'm going to give it to the Lord. But I believe if you look back in Joseph's life, Joseph had two kids. Forgiveness is not letting someone off the hook. It's setting your heart and saying, okay, I'm letting my nervous system free. But more importantly, it offers you freedom and forgiveness. And I think Joseph had an encounter with the Lord, not when he was 56 years old, but somehow maybe in that prison, or maybe somehow in that when he was accused of sexual assault, or maybe somehow when he was in that pit, even though he didn't want to, he said, Lord, I release them. God, I forgive them. I'm not holding on to a bitter root. God, I'm not going to allow it to corrupt the plan and the purposes that you have for me. So much so that when Joseph had two kids, the first kid that he has was someone named Manasseh. Everybody say Manasseh. Now Manasseh, I've got a slide for this. It says this, Manasseh actually means, now every name in the Bible, specifically in the Old Testament, would mean something. It wasn't just like you named it like the cute trending name of 2026. You actually had a reason why you called your kid something. And it said this, for he said, God has made me to forget all my hardships and all of my father's house. So he's saying, Lord, I release it. So every time he calls his kid Manasseh, what is he saying? God, I forgive them. God, I choose to walk and forgiveness. God, I'm releasing my father's house. Manasseh, come here. Come get your lunch. God, and he would remind himself, Lord, I am choosing to forgive. God, I am choosing to let go of bitterness in my life. And his second son was named Ephraim. Ephraim says this, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. So every time he would call Ephraim over, he would remind himself, God's going to make me fruitful in all of this. God sees. I don't have to worry about a thing. Can you play some music in the back? And we're going to pray this morning. But I just want to encourage you today. The Bible says that you can let go. You can release it. And then you can walk into the plans and the purposes that God has for you. Joseph wasn't saying that it was no big deal or it didn't hurt. I know a lot of you in this morning have been through some things. You've been through things that are hurtful. Some things you might even need to talk to people with. We're always welcome to speak, and maybe there's some real healing, some counseling that comes as well. I'm not like oblivious to that. But I also think that there's some of us in the room that we just have to release it to God. Maybe you've been betrayed or injustice or prison, or maybe someone said something about you and it wasn't true. Joseph could have named his kids betrayal. He could have named his kids abuse. Joseph could have named his kids rejection. But here's what he said: no, I'm going to name my children healing and fruitfulness. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to release it to the Lord. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? This morning, I have a question. Have you allowed the enemy to poison the plans and purposes of God by hanging on to bitterness and by hanging on to unforgiveness? This morning, I pray that you would be like Joseph and say, Lord, I'm going to plan to walk in my healing, and God, I'm going to plan to walk in fruitfulness. Not because they deserve it, but because God has forgiven us. And when we release that back over to him, then God can move. God was always working in Joseph's life. Even through the things that were awful, that were hurtful, that were manipulative, because Joseph allowed him. And this morning, I pray the same over you. I pray that you would say to the Lord, okay, God, I'm releasing unforgiveness. God, I'm releasing bitterness. I don't want it to run the root systems. I don't want it to corrupt my soul. And this morning, here's what we're going to do. If that's you in the room and you have something to release, I'm going to ask you just to sort of put your hands out to the Lord. Not like, you know, like worship, but more of just like open palm. Just sort of like, okay, God, just like you're handing it to him kind of thing. If that's you in the room, and you probably already know a person or a situation. There was one time in my young 20s when I was accused of something and it was just like not true. I remember being so hateful and bitterness would corrupt my soul. I would think about it over and over again, and I would just keep on and keep on. I was so mad, like I didn't do whatever. And the Lord just said, Tara, just release it. God, just offer them forgiveness. I don't want to. So what I did was every morning I would just do this visibly, like, okay, Lord, I give it to you. And the next morning, God, it wasn't like over. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, oh, I prayed one time and I didn't think about it ever again. So every time I would think about it, God, I would just release that to you. I'm speaking forgiveness because I've been forgiving, and it just was an act in my life, and I did over and over and over again. And this morning you might have to do the same, but this is where we start. So we're going to pray out loud. I'm just going to pray, and then you could just pray after me. Say, dear Jesus, today I extend my surrendered hands, and I ask that you would release me of unforgiveness and bitterness in my life. I want to walk in your plans and your purposes. I desire the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so, Lord, I trust you that in all things, you're working for your good in my life. And I'm thankful, God, that you forgive me. So today I forgive others because you forgave me. Can I pray over you, Lord? This is tough. Lord, it's counterculture. Our culture says to go and get yours and revenge every wrong. But God, as believers, we've got to be different. So Lord, I pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That when we walk out this door today, that we would walk in forgiveness. God, that we wouldn't allow any bitter root to take place in our lives. God, we're just letting it go this morning. They could have been totally wrong. It's good, Lord. We're letting it go. God, we could have been hurt, and Lord, things could have happened. And I just pray that we would walk in faithfulness to the word of God. Like Joseph, God, that we would walk in healing. And God, then we would walk, because we're healed, we'll walk in fruitfulness, Lord God. God, we want to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. We want the fruit of love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control to be evident in our lives. God, we want those things. So this morning, God, we thank you that you forgave us. And God, we thank you that we can release all things to our Lord, who knows us, who sees, and that you're here, and that we can walk with you. Before we close this morning, I just felt like I should say, if you've been through something that's abusive, any kind of abuse, whatever that is, and you've never talked to anyone, maybe stay after service, call us sometimes this week. Those can be tough things. I remember my mom lets me share this story. My mom was molested by her uncle. And it brought up some things, right? Like it was unfair. They were drunk, and it happened when she was a teenager. It was two uncles. And I just remember this, where she just had to walk in forgiveness. Not that she was best friends with him, not that she allowed it to happen over and over again, but she just had to walk in that and say, Lord, I just forgive them, because it's corrupting me, and I'm looking at them instead of looking at Christ. And she just walked in that, and there's some people in the room that can help you walk through that. Not because they deserve it, but because we don't want bitterness and unforgiveness to just hang heavy over our hearts and our minds. And so if you feel like, okay, Tara, I've got this big thing, it's like a big thing, then let's walk together through that. Let's work together through that and allow the Lord to heal and to bring fruitfulness to your life. God, I pray for that. God, I pray for those that have been in that situation, Lord, that you would bring healing. God, that you would bring your spirit. God, help us to walk with each other faithfully. God, thank you that in all things, God, that you're working together for your good, for those who love you and are called according to your name. God, we thank you for what you're going to do as we forgive, as we walk in forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. We're going to see you. The prayer room is open until